the speed at which things have moved since that founding of the council, Dennis will talk about, and I'm sure we'll say something about the culmination of, if you like, phase one of the work with the Geneva meeting just a couple of months ago. So Dennis, very pleased to have you here. Over to you.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, and it's a pleasure to be here. As Jeremy has said, what I have done and what the council have done was started by David Cameron and in turn Jeremy Hunt, and there's been enormous support here in the United Kingdom for what really is a global effort. And let me try to give you a little more background. I was appointed in February of 2014. The World Dementia Council followed soon thereafter, with 19 members from all walks of Alzheimer's, medical care, philanthropy, pharmaceuticals, banking, and also dementia people. So we have and international. So we have a very broad World Dementia Council. What we have done during that time, there's been four legacy events. One in London, here in London, in Ottawa, Canada, France one, one in Tokyo by Japan, and then one in Washington, D.C. By the United States. And they have covered finance, partnering, care, and research. So they've had a broad brush and a very intensive push on a number of aspects of dementia. Now, the World Dementia Council, we've tried to follow the G8, and the G8 talked about cure by 2025. So we haven't got into this cure-care debate, and I think I realize probably most people in this audience are on the care side, but the big mandate for cure comes really with a rather simple calculation. There's a 4-5% annualized increase in incidence and prevalence. So every year we get 4-5% greater demand. And that is not sustainable in the long term when you've got budgetary aspects that can probably increase by 2% a year. So there's quite a gap there. And that gap probably amounts to something like delaying dementia onset by 5 years in the next 20 in order to accommodate that gap. That, I think, is very powerful evidence that we don't want to either break national banks, individuals' banks, or their own personal lives with this devastation. And so trying to seek a cure is our big mandate. Now, with that mandate, we've, I think, achieved, I would say, four things during our past year. First of all, I think we built a momentum. Now, it's hard to say who was responsible for that. I would probably say, if you have to point to a single person, it was David Cameron. Because having a world leader that went out at the G8, as it was then, and made a stance for dementia, certainly made my job, for example, a lot easier. It enabled all sorts of doors to be made open. But I think the World Dementia Council and our role in the Department of Health, and particularly support from people like Jeremy, the Alzheimer's Association in the United States, and a number of other entities has helped create momentum. The media has played a big role. I've just come from a BBC interview. And the media, I think, has got behind this momentum. And it's not only been in the United Kingdom, but it's been in many countries that we've seen a somewhat sympathetic media to get things galvanized. The second thing I think we've accomplished is the World Dementia Council has put in place a whole series of priorities and actions. In the World Dementia Council, we have five priorities. The first, we want to integrate in a more global fashion how we develop new drugs so that regulatory frameworks are more aligned and there's a recognition of the need that dementia people have to get more cures and more therapists. The second is finance. We need more basic finance for research. The third is risk reduction. Now, risk reduction, I think, is a largely untapped source, and you heard something about it this morning. I think things like exercise, things like keeping active, keeping your mind active, are things that probably help delay the onset of dementia or perhaps elude it onsetting at all. And so risk reduction, I think, is a largely untapped source. And I think that has followed largely the heart specialists. Cardiovascular risk factors seem to be highly aligned to dementia risk factors. The fourth I'll call open science. We want more data, and we want more access to data and information for all manner of people, not only researchers, but also dementia people and their families. And citizen science has been a platform that's been developed here in the United Kingdom to a much greater extent. So the open science platform that largely follows the internet is a platform that we want to pursue. The fifth priority is care, but we're trying to take a particular approach to care, and that is how we can amplify the resources that care for dementia people, how we can use technology and information in order to make the resources available more effective and efficient. And this is another factor that will help close that gap. 2% maybe money will increase, 4 to 5% demand will increase. And so we've got to use other aspects than just identifying we need more and more care workers. There's an interesting calculation that we did. If we carry on just increasing the number of care workers, the immigration laws of the United Kingdom will have to change as we get 20, 30 years out. So we start to get, and the same actual rule applies in the United States, so we start to get untenable situations unless we look far into the future of the sorts of changes that need to be undertaken. Now, the second... That was the second big accomplishment, priorities and actions. I would add that in the World Dementia Council, we have a whole series of actions that flow from all these priorities. And I would pick on one in particular that I think we're very proud of. A dementia development fund has been established. It's supported by the pharmaceutical industry. It will be based primarily here in London. And $100 million has already been committed by the pharmaceutical industry. And David Cameron committed £15 million to that $100 million some months ago. So that initiative helped this fund get off the ground. And of course, looking at new therapies in their early stages is one thing that will bring closer to fruition a cure for patients. Now, that whole set of activities leads into the next accomplishment I think we've had, and that is building a continuity structure. I would say that's something that's been half accomplished. The World Dementia Council is going to be reconstituted. It will have a nominations committee, and it will also have constituencies from throughout the world, including constituencies here right in this room, that will nominate people to the World Dementia Council. Remember, it started as a G8, but has now expanded to a global entity or a global phenomenon. And so getting all the right constituencies to work side by side, including the participation of agencies like the World Health Organization, OECD and other entities will be very critical for this continuity function. This continuity function will also embrace an executive team, and that will be most important because we've got through the stage a thinking through, with respect to all the priorities, what needs to be done, we now are more at the stage of actionizing and following up on each one of these things. Now, disease. Let me go to disease modification itself. When I started this, I was a little nervous that the 2025 goal was somewhat ambitious. It was, if you think, a very ambitious goal. I do have a corporate side of me, and so we are heavily involved in the research and the clinical trials that are carried out globally to undertake many aspects of trying to solve some of the problems of dementia. And I will state before this very audience that I do believe the 2025 goal of some sort of cure, I believe, will be delivered 2-3 years earlier than 2025. So that's in my, that, and you're getting my opinion here. Very, very positive piece of information. The negative of this, though, is always a side effect. I don't want everyone to leave this room thinking that cure would be a matter of taking a pill, and I'm sure many of you here realize that. One of the things that probably is going to be solved is how to take plaque out of the brain. Now, that's not the only cause of dementia, but taking plaque out of the brain will be certainly one aspect of many of these things, making lives probably more tolerable. However, one of the things we're also discovering as you take plaque out of the brain is that victims, if you call them victims, have headaches. So there's a lifestyle that will have to be overcome. The next stage will also probably be that some of the neuronal pathways will have to be rebuilt, perhaps through relearning and other means. So I wanted to say a little word about this notion of a cure. The notion of a cure is very, very real, but will come one step at a time. It will come for some patients at a time, for some aspects of dementia at a time, and will then accumulate. And I think the best way to look at it is somewhat similar to cancer. If we look at cancer over the last 20 years, we've gone from very modest things, if anything, that could be done. Now many cancers are cured. If we look into the future with cancer, it's estimated that as many as 80% of cancers will purely become chronic diseases by 2030. As we look out over dementia over the next 15, 20, 25 years, I believe the same thing will happen. We will move to a stage where more and more dementia people are able to live increasingly with the neurodegeneration that's taking place in their brain. Now, I'd like to emphasize one other accomplishment that talks to the globalness of all this, and that is the World Health Organization Call for Action, and that was mentioned briefly by Jeremy. In March of this year, 93 nations attended the World Health Organization conference that was convened by Margaret Chan in Geneva. Jeremy Hunt, who you heard earlier today, spoke at that conference. I spoke at that conference. A number of leading minds and thinkers spoke at that conference. But I think what was exciting is that 93 nations signed up to a call for action. Now that, if you go back 1 year, that would have been almost impossible to believe. And I think is the biggest illustration of the momentum that is being developed. Now that momentum, hopefully, will generate not only cures and other pathways for improved care in more Western countries, but will also improve things in the developing world, where there often is another set of problems associated with stigma, associated more with education, associated even with not thinking that dementia is witchcraft. So on a global scale, we have a very, very sizable problem. More than 60% of the cases of dementia in the world today are outside the developed world. And that will move to over 70% in the coming 20 years or so. So this truly is a global problem, and it truly is one that needs more curative solutions. Now, I'd like to say a few words about some of the things that are taking place in these priorities. Because if you're looking for a cure, one of the things that we've struggled with a little bit is there was a relatively arm's length passive stance by the regulatory agencies. And remember, if we're going to get a pill, regulatory agencies have to approve them. And so one of the key pushes of the World Dementia Council has been how do we get the regulatory agencies around the world to be more empathetic and recognize the needs of dementia people and their needs to have more treatments and therapies that delay onset and perhaps even cure them available. Now, one member of the World Dementia Council is Raj Long, a member of the Gates Foundation, who has led the effort of bringing regulators together. And that effort, I think, has been a spectacular effort. 10 regulatory agencies were brought together in Switzerland, and there was certainly a very sympathetic ear to the need to look carefully at what are the barriers. Why haven't we had a new drug in the last 12 years? And that momentum carried on more recently into another convening. I believe this time it was 11 regulators in Rome. That meeting took place at the same time as our World Dementia 5 Council meeting paralleled the two meetings. Those aspects of bringing the regulators together are very paramount. There is, though, one remaining task that many of you can possibly be active in. One of the questions that the pharmaceutical sector is asking is, if we get a cure, if we get a drug, if we invent one, if it's tested, if regulators pass it, will governments and payers pay for it? And that becomes a very critical issue, because as a number of you may realize, the process of cures and drugs through the system is not only dependent on a regulatory mechanism. It's also heavily dependent now on a payer system. And here in the UK, as I was just discussing with Charles at the table over here, the record of paying for drugs in dementia is not very good. And I think that's unfortunate, particularly the UK has had a leading effort on one side of the equation, but has been behind the curve on another side of the equation. So that is a task that remains to be undertaken by the World Dementia Council. The balance was, do you put all the regulators and the payers in a room, or do you start with the regulators and then move on to the payers, and then maybe put everyone together in the room? It was that latter approach that we've decided on. And so bringing the payers together and bringing the ideas of what is needed to demonstrate to society that there's cost effectiveness here, and also effectiveness to be able to produce those drugs in economies that maybe are not so wealthy to pay for them. So the payer system is an important thing that we've got to pursue still further, and it's one untapped event in how we've proceeded so far. I think you can all feel very reassured that every effort is being made to bring about a cure. I feel very, very confident of that. I think the question, though, that probably is not so well recognised is that the understanding of the brain in all its aspects is still more limited than is necessary for us to have a cure. So brain science, if one uses a lay term, is very, very critical here. Now, the research monies that goes in to basic neuroscience is probably a half of what is really needed to accelerate the understanding of the brain in order to accelerate the ability to develop curative therapies. That is a very critical point. Here in the United Kingdom, the investment in research has doubled over the last several years and is maintaining that level in the future years through 2020. The United States of America, though, they have also done the same thing, and basic research there is at about the $650 million level. In the United Kingdom, it's just breaking past the £60 million level. Cumulatively, it's about $1 billion in basic research worldwide. Probably needs to be $2 to $3 billion. So that is a very great reality. I think, though, there's one interesting thing. The UK has been shown a lot of leadership. There's also been some leadership in the United States. The United States Congress has mandated that the National Institutes of Health every year send to Congress the amount of money it will cost to have disease modification. So that means the agencies that are responsible for medical research have to cost this out, and then of course they will be accountable for delivering if Congress approved that amount of money. So that is, I think, a hugely impactful initiative that I think will elevate the rate at which we move towards a cure. So, I stand here, being delighted by the support that I've had over the last 18 months, and saying that I think we've moved things to the point where there's huge momentum, and cure, at least partial cure, is really on the horizon. But we need to keep up the hard work, we need to keep up the support, and people like Jeremy have got to keep on pushing, because we will get there. But in order to alleviate many of the things we've heard about earlier, it is important to keep this pressure up. So thank you, it's been a delight to be able to explain the last 12 to 15 months, and look forward to further support, and I support everyone here. Let's make greater initiatives in the future, and we will, I think, give everyone the curative therapy they need in the coming years. Thank you.